your Bibles, please, for our next reading to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them, they sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as an heap. The depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength, unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses and said, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the waters. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. I would be remiss if I did not make a comment on this passage with regard to its relationship to exclusive psalmody. And so every time we read through this passage, I make a comment such as this. And very often we hear, you folks that are exclusive psalmody, you have cut out several songs that are in the scripture that you refuse to sing. And we say, guilty as charged. And that's right, we have. There are several songs that are in the scripture that we do not believe we are commanded to sing. This is one of them. If you're interested, you may do the research, as I have, about looking at the propositions that are found in the Song of Moses and Miriam. And you'll find that in the main, all of those same propositions in one form or another are found in the Psalter. But that's really not the point. The point is that we have no command to sing such a song as this. This obviously has the earmarks of not a worship service, but a civil celebration at the defeat of a national enemy. And so there is a glorious civil celebration. You say, well, Pastor Riddell, how can you tell it's a civil celebration? Well, it's the same kind of civil celebration that we saw when David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. You say, well, isn't that a churchly celebration? No. No, and we have to parse these things very carefully, because in the Old Testament, the Old Testament nation of Israel was indeed coextensive with the church, but there were churchly things and there were civil things. And we could tell the civil things because there were times when, during the course of those celebrations that were civil, there were things done that the Lord has never called for to do in His worship, like dancing. There was the other time when David and Saul were coming back from the slaughter of Goliath. You remember that? David and his 5 smooth stones, and Saul, who was probably nearly as large as Goliath, cowering in his princely tent. And so after David slays Goliath and takes his head off, just like he said he would, then the children of Israel come out of their tents and they meet the Philistines. And the Philistines, of course, have no confidence left in them. Their champion is dead and they're routed by the Israelites. And so as the army comes home, the ladies come out with their dances, just like here. And they say, if I can add a tune to what they said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. Well, it made Saul very jealous, didn't it? It did. And yet, remember, in that civil celebration, what do we see? We see the ladies going out with the dance, just like we see here. And so, our exclusive psalmody fathers, and if I could call myself an exclusive psalmody father, I'm getting rather old. We have always confessed that this is a civil celebration, not a worship song, but a civil celebration. So with that disclaimer then, we move on into the song itself. And there are several wonderful things that are said in the song. And those propositions we will find paralleled in many places in the Psalter. You can do that work. Just start with your center column references. And every time you see a reference that points you to the psalm, go look it up and read it. You can start there. You can go a little farther, if you like, with a book called The Treasury of Scripture Knowledge, which is a book that was edited by Reuben Archer Torrey that is indeed a very good book of cross-references, and you'll find all kinds of reference there in the Psalter with regard to these propositions. But it is indeed a very interesting thing that Israel would come together and they would sing to the Lord, because you've heard from this pulpit several times that when human beings die, when there is human suffering, that we ought not to be rejoicing over that. And yet, here are the children of Israel rejoicing. Well, let's just make a few more distinctions, a few more higdilu, right? Some divisions here. Let's remember that we are never to rejoice at the destruction of our enemies. Jesus tells us, Paul tells us, and Solomon tells us in the Proverbs. Three times we're told, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him to drink. In other words, there is a common care that we owe to all mankind, even our enemies. And yet at this instance, we don't see that going on, but that is because, notice, the children of Israel did not fight. God rose up in their defense and fought for them and slew all of the Egyptians. And so they are rejoicing at what God has done, not at what they had done with their own hands. God has risen up and slain his enemies, and so they praise him because he has risen up and slain his enemies. And there is a difference. There is a distinction that we must keep clear in our minds. The other thing that this counsels us to do is to make sure that our friends are God's friends, and if we would have any enemies in this life, that they would be God's enemies, and that would be the reason that they are our enemies. That's another use we make from this passage. All right, so then after the great victory, and what did the great victory surround? The way God was able to use what element? Water. Right? Part of the Red Sea. Can God control the water? Yes, that's the answer to the question. And so, after they come out from the Red Sea, they sing their song, they do their dance, they celebrate as a nation, and then they travel and they come to this place called Marah. What's at Marah? Water. Same kind of water that was over there at the Red Sea? Well, the same general kind of water, except this was bitter water. That's why they called it Marah. And so the people began to complain. You see what the Lord is doing? First of all, he has delivered them through water. Now he tempts them by water. And what do? They complain. The point is how soon we forget. How soon we forget. Let us not murmur. Let us not complain. Let us make our requests known to God. Let us pour out our hearts before him without a doubt. Let us make our needs known. Let us make our wants known. Let us make our requests to God. That's what the apostle tells us we ought to be doing in Philippians chapter 4. Not in this kind of murmuring or complaining mode that the children of Israel undertook. The Lord has just shown himself mighty over the water, but they come to this bitter water, and all of a sudden the Lord's not mighty anymore. And so they begin to complain and murmur. So then, the Lord commands, take this tree, throw it in the water, and Moses does as commanded. Now the water's sweet. Another object lesson. I'm in charge of the water. Don't worry about these things. I can part water, I can take bitter water and make it sweet, I can give you all the water you need. Stop complaining and come to me. That's the point the Lord is making. And so in reinforcement of that point, then, the Lord leads them to Elim, where there are 70 palm trees and 12 springs of water. And the Lord teaches them, water, water, water. I'm in charge. Come to me. I will be your provision. Stop worrying. Interesting that we've also had another reading today in Acts chapter 27. That includes water and someone who's calm in the midst of a tempestuous water. It is the same lesson, essentially. That we ought not to worry, nor fret, nor murmur, nor complain at God's provision, as if God somehow has lost sight of us, or lost sight of what we need, or is somehow unable to provide for us what we need. He tries us and deprives us to call us to himself. And very often he tries us and deprives us over those very things that a few days, a few hours a few weeks ago were things in which we triumphed, like water. And so the Lord often works in this way, that He might call His people to Himself, teach them, instruct them, take away their murmuring, and grant them faith. These are the lessons then of Exodus chapter 15. Let's stand and continue praising God.